This is Digital Story Podcast number 977, December 10th, 2024. Today's theme is, how did you fare on Black Friday? I'm Derek Story. I survived Black Friday, but just barely. The barrage of camera deals, lens discounts, and alluring accessories that maybe I didn't need, but I certainly wanted, and were difficult to resist. This week, I share with you my Black Friday temptation and my attempts to fight it off. All of that and more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. I started out strong. On November 29th, I browsed my usual suspects, B&H Photo and Amazon. I was relieved to see that there weren't any burning camera deals to tempt me right out of the chute. In the past, that wasn't always the case. I remember one year when Amazon was offering a new Nikon D610 full-frame DSLR with a Nikkor 50mm f1.8 autofocus prime and a Nikon battery grip for some ridiculous price that I couldn't resist. So I bought it, and I've used that camera many times over the years and love it to this day. But it was an expenditure that I had not planned on. There were some good deals this year, but nothing like that. I could save $400 on an M3 14-inch MacBook Pro. Even though mine is an older M1 model, it's running just fine. I could save $2,200 on a Leica SL2S mirrorless camera. It looks sweet, but it would still cost me $2,995. And I don't have any lenses for that, and we know how that goes. I could save $300 on a Panasonic Lumix G9 Mark II Micro Four Thirds mirrorless body. Its 25 megapixel sensor is certainly alluring, and I have tons of lenses that would work great on it. But even after the discount, it was still $1,600. All of these deals, and many more, were relatively easy to pass on. I enjoyed reading about them, lingering over the specs, fantasizing how I would integrate the new equipment into my workflow, and then just sigh and click on to the next page. I was feeling pretty good about my resolve and good judgment. Then I received an email blast from Nikon. 4 days only. Refurbished sale. I knew that I shouldn't look, but what harm could it do? I had already shown resistance to these Black Friday temptations. So I'm scrolling down the webpage, noting the discounts for the Z9. Yeah, right. The ZF, already have one. And the Z6 Mark II. Nice price, but nah. Then it appeared. A black special edition ZFC with matching 16-50mm compact VR zoom lens for $850. Uh-oh. I think the black special edition ZFC is one of the most handsome digital cameras I've ever laid eyes on. They're not available new anymore. And when you do find one, it's well over $1,000. This one, totally refurbished with a matching lens, was $850, plus free shipping, a substantial Nikon warranty, and it was in stock. Oh man. I already own the 26mm Nikon Z Pancake that would look great on this new camera. Plus I have other Z optics too, and this little guy at 800 grams would be a fantastic backup for the ZF. It wasn't difficult to envision all the scenarios where I could put the ZFC to work and enjoy its handsome appearance at the same time. I took a deep breath, closed the laptop, and walked away. An hour later, I was back. Then the next day, and the day after that. I kept saying to myself, maybe they will sell out and put me out of my misery. But every time I opened the page, there it was, calling to me. This torture went on for 5 days. That's right, it wasn't even a 4-day sale. It's still on sale. To help build up my resistance, I would pull out my beautiful OM-1 or Pentax KP or the Nikon ZF. I certainly don't need anything more than these three cameras, I would say to myself. And for a few moments, that would work. This afternoon, before I wrote the podcast, I opened up the 4-day sale page again. The special edition ZFC is still there. How do these people measure days? But I have not caved in. I'm standing strong. I've survived Black Friday 2024. But I must remain vigilant. I tell you, that was crazy. You know, every now and then I go through something like this where there's something that I see, it's at a really great price. It's something that very much catches my eye. But rationally, I can't justify it, you know, making the expenditure, you know, based on the equipment that I already have. And I know you have gone through this. I know it, I know it, I know it. Usually, I can fight it off after a day, sometimes after only a few hours. You know, a lot of times, all I have to do is close the laptop after the first brush with this temptation and then, you know, walk away and come back maybe, oh, I don't know, a few hours later and I'm okay. I'm all right. You know, my credit card is safe and sound. But this one was so funny because it really got under my skin. Now, the Black Edition, special edition of the ZFC or ZFC looks like a Nikon FM. And the Black Edition is even better. It's funny, the Silver Edition, which I actually reviewed and ended up saying that I was going to pass on it, it doesn't tempt me as much. I like the way it looks, but the Black Edition with the lens, the black lens, looks really good. And at only 800 and some odd grams, it is truly light. I remember when I first picked it up, just how very light it felt. And like I could slide this in my jacket pocket and it would hardly even pull that side down. You know, it's like one of those things. Now, at the time that I reviewed it, I did not have the ZF. I did not have the full frame version, which I do now, as you well know. And so I was thinking of it as like a primary Nikon camera. With the Z mount, it wouldn't go with my D610, you know, even though I could get the adapter and all that stuff for the lenses. And I just ended up going, it's just not practical enough. And there were some things that it didn't have that I really wanted. A primary thing is it doesn't have built-in image stabilization, doesn't have IBIS. So you have to get the VR lenses if you want image stabilization. Well, that's kind of tough. It doesn't have a pop-up flash, which I kind of want in my, you know, more portable APS-C cameras. My Pentax KP has both built-in image stabilization and it has a pop-up flash. Then there are some little things like the ZFC. It doesn't have the supersonic dust removal feature at all. So I could see that, oh, wow, you know, dust becoming an issue with this. You get so spoiled, you know, with the cameras that have it, you don't even think about dust anymore. You just think, oh, well, dust must not exist anymore because I'm not getting it on my pictures. Well, no, dust very much exists. It's just your cameras are really smart and they get rid of it for you so you don't have to think about it. So the ZFC doesn't have that. So there's like a lot of things it doesn't have, you know, and what it does have going for it is that it's super light. I have some cool lenses for it and it looks really good. And it looks really good was the part that was keeping me engaged in this torture because all the other reasons, all the other logical reasons just weren't working. So I would do exactly what I said in the piece that I just read you. So I'd pull out the Pentax and I'd pull out the OM-1, you know, I'd shoot with them and, you know, I'm getting ready for Costa Rica, and I'm taking both the OM-1 and I'm taking the Pentax both because they're super weather resistant and I have weather resistant lenses to go with them. So they're perfect. Plus they're both crop sensor. So my telephotos, you know, get a little extra reach with them. So I have them out. I'm shooting with them all the time now, and I don't really need another crop sensor camera. Unless, you know, I want a companion for the Nikon when I'm carrying it around. It's just so funny when we go through these little things. Well, yes, of course it doesn't have image stabilization, but I can get around that, right? Yeah, well, but no, not really. So anyway, it's interesting. And then I could have swore this morning when I was getting ready to write the podcast, I was contemplating writing about this topic because I just thought it was kind of fun. And I was pretty sure that you'd be able to relate to it as well. I was so surprised when that sale is still going on because I was thinking, I mean, come on. It's not a 4-day sale, is it? It's a forever sale just to torture me every time I open up the link to that page. You're there. You still have them in stock. They're still available and the price is still the same. I did make it through the whole Black Friday experience this year, Cyber Monday, all the email blasts tempting me from Olympus, from Ricoh, from Panasonic, from Nikon. You know, I got through all of that and I haven't bought anything because I don't really need anything. And I'm getting ready for Costa Rica and I want to focus on that. But it has been agonizing. And I thought, well, what's the best way to help get through that torture is to share it with other people who are probably feeling it as well. I hope you survived your Black Friday, whether you bought something or you resisted. However it turned out, I hope it turned out the way that you wanted. Right, here's an article that was on Digital Camera World, and we're just gonna prolong the pain a few minutes longer. All right, here you go. Missed Black Friday? Adorama still has cameras discounted by as much as $1,000. And this is on Digital Camera World, and I have a link to it in the show notes if you care to be further tortured. Let me read you a little bit of what they have to say. Black Friday tends to be one of the best times of years to buy a new camera, and every year the end of season sale seems to last beyond the bounds of just Friday. Case in point, while some of the biggest Black Friday deals have expired, Adorama still has camera deals that mean cutting the cost of a new camera by as much as $1,000. The US-based camera retailer is currently running what it calls Cyber Monday 2.0. That must be what Nikon was doing. And there are still some great deals around. Cameras like the Nikon Z7 Mark II have dropped to Black Friday pricing during the current round of sales, cutting $1,000 off the price of the full-frame mirrorless body. The Nikon Z5 bundled with the lens is even more affordable, sitting at under a cool $1,500 for the kit price. The impressive $350 beginner's camera deal that we spotted over Black Friday is no longer hanging around, but new photographers can get an even better model with kit lens for $700 with the Canon EOS R50. The Canon R6 Mark II is even $500 off and it comes bundled with a free accessory kit. As a photographer and a journalist that has spent the better part of a decade reviewing cameras, these are the post-Black Friday sales that are most worthwhile, whether you're shopping for yourself or a lucky friend. All right, you ready for these? Gird your loins, right? The Nikon Z7 II was $2,996, is now $1,996 at Adorama. The Canon EOS R6 Mark II was $2,499 and now is a cool $1,999. The Sony A7 Mark III was $1,798, but now you can get it for $1,298. The Panasonic S5 Mark II with a 20-60mm and 50mm lens. All right, so it's the S5 Mark II, that's their full frame, with two lenses, the 20-60 and the 50. That was $2,747, but now it's $1,997. Oh my word. It's a 24 megapixel full frame camera, and it has two lenses to come with it. Oof. Okay, let's keep going. Let's do one more here, and then we will move on to another topic. This is an excellent camera deal for beginners. This is our final. The Canon EOS R50 was $799, but now $699. All right. You can review all of these and more on the Digital Camera World article, and I have a link in the show notes. Click only if your resolve is strong. 5 must-have everyday carry accessories for photographers. This is on fstoppers.com, and I have a link to it in the show notes. This is a little bit more up my price alley right now. Okay, so these are 5. Some people would call these stocking stuffers. Sometimes they're friend gifts, things like that. Here we go. So they have a really nifty multi-tool by Small Rig, and I love Small Rig stuff. It's the Film Riot 10-in-1 multi-tool, and it's selling for $39.99, the Small Rig Film Riot 10-in-1 multi-tool, and it's cute and it has all sorts of good stuff. A simple battery case. We don't need to emphasize the importance of extra batteries. In fact, for any crucial job, your extra batteries should have extra batteries. That's why bringing at least 3 batteries for every camera body might be the right approach. However, these cases are also relatively light as to not add bulk to your bag. And this is the Nomadic McKinnon battery case. It's pretty cool looking, actually. I love Nomadic stuff. I actually bought their windbreaker with a hood that you can fold into a pillow, and it has a nice little pillow side to it that I use on the airplane, you know, for the back of my neck. Anyway, so this Nomadic McKinnon battery case, which has 4.5 star reviews, has a price tag of $23.99 with an instant savings of $6. All right, again, a little bit more in my ballpark. How about a smart charger or charging case for even more crucial tasks or multi-day travels? The soft battery case is paired in my bag with a smart charging case. The ISDT NP2 is a dual slot fast charging case that takes in 3 different Sony battery types, and the Z100, the W50, and the BX1 for compact cameras. The case has slots for 2 batteries at a time, with up to 2 battery types charging simultaneously. It takes a USB-C cable input through a port in the back and can be used with any phone or laptop charger you might already have. Now, this is very interesting. They show the pictures of the NP2 Go, but they have no link to it, nor a price, so you are just going to have to research that one on your own. They have mini V-mount batteries. I don't care about those. And we have a mini battery-operated blower. Okay, in case you're not satisfied with your rocket blower, this one is definitely smaller, but it's powered. All right, a mini blower is a tool that you'd never think you would need until you get to use one. You got to use it to know it, right? This is especially true for photographers who shoot outdoors a lot, although some of us just don't change lenses outdoors, but I will carry on. Initially, the use of this would be to blow dust off lenses and even camera sensors, but I personally found more uses whenever I had one with me. For one, when photographing products, having a relatively strong blower can be very helpful to keep dust off what you're shooting. Now, that is a good idea because you don't really notice the dust when you're taking the pictures, but man, does it show up on the pictures themselves. So I like that. As a landscape photographer, it comes in handy to blow droplets of water off filters instead of smudging them with a cloth. Well, this must have some pretty good velocity. Afterward, the blower can also be used to remove sand from the legs of tripods before it gets in the creases and locks. Wow, this is a very creative use of blowers here, many of which I have not considered. All right, so let's see if we got any information on this. So it's the Nightcore BB Nano, and the price on this bad boy is $29.95, and they have a link to it on Amazon. All right. And it does look pretty cool with a USB-C power input. So there you go. If you want a little bit more power in your air blower, then this baby has your name all over it. All right, so there we go. Four stocking stuffers worth considering. I really like the small rig tool. I think it's pretty cool. The simple battery case is nice. Not so sure about the smart charging case there. Definitely not crazy about the V-mount batteries, and still thinking about the mini battery-operated blower. Google's AI weather app could be extremely useful to photographers. This is an article that's on petapixel.com, and I have a link to it in the show notes. Let's see what they have to say. Google has introduced a new type of AI-powered weather app capable of predicting the weather earlier than traditional models, which could be handy for photographers and very handy for workshop facilitators. I added that myself. We continue. Anyone planning a photo shoot will know the anxiety of hoping the weather will play nice, and Google's GenCast could be a useful tool because it claims to deliver faster, more accurate forecasts up to 15 days ahead. According to a paper published in Nature, GenCast outperforms one of the world's best forecast models, ENS, by the European Center for Medium Range Weather Forecasts. GenCast is an AI diffusion model, the same type of technology that powers AI image generators. It was trained on 4 decades worth of weather data from 1979 to 2018, including temperatures, wind speed, and pressure at various altitudes. The model takes that data and learns to recognize patterns so it can make predictions about what is likely to happen in the future. The model then made predictions for the year 2019 and beat ENS's predictions 97.2% of the time. That number rose to 99.8% against predictions made more than 36 hours before. I wonder why the television people aren't using this. Our television people could use it. Here we go. Let's go on. It also works well on extreme weather events. For example, GenCast gave an additional 12 hours of warning for a tropical cyclone and was better at predicting wind power production. Although GenCast was testing itself against 2019 version of ENS, which has obviously been upgraded since then, it still makes a significant milestone in the evolution of weather forecasting. GenCast also excels at the speed of forecasting. It can produce a 15-day forecast in just 8 minutes versus ENS, which can take several hours to produce the same report. Computationally, it's orders of magnitude more expensive to run traditional forecasts compared to a model like GenCast, says Ian Price, a senior research scientist at DeepMind. It remains to be seen whether an AI weather model will be useful in the real world, but better longer-term forecasts is something that everyone, not just photographers, would be grateful for. And again, this article is on petapixel.com, and you can click on the link in the show notes. It does sound interesting and a positive mark in the AI column. I mentioned this last week, but we have an opening in our Costa Rica workshop. We had a last minute cancellation, which left a spot open if someone wants to join us. It's January 7 through 15, 2025. I have a link to our workshop page in the show notes. The event is co-led by Rob Knight and myself. Our group is limited to 10 participants. We have lined up guides, transportation, accommodation, and meals. All you have to do is pack your bag, which I'm working on right now, and get a flight. And you can join us for a fantastic adventure in Costa Rica. Talk about a nice way to get away after the holidays. This is a nice warm weather. Remember, it's summer down there. A nice warm weather getaway for those that want to get out. Maybe put some of that new Black Friday camera gear to the test. If you have any questions about the event, you can write me at dstory@gmail.com. And hopefully you can join us in Costa Rica next month. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I want to give a big shout out to our Inner Circle members, the folks that support this community week in and week out. And by the way, Inner Circle members do get the 10% discount on the Costa Rica workshop, just like they get discounts on all of our events, and that will be extended through 2025. They also have their exclusive area where they get to hang out, exchange pictures, talk about things, ask questions. It's like having a group of experts available to you 24 hours a day. If you're interested in joining our Inner Circle, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. All discounts and benefits are available immediately. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this community. I want to show some appreciation for our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. Well, I was thinking I need to go back and look at how many years Red River Paper has been sponsoring this podcast. But talk about someone who stands by a community. Red River Paper is the epitome of such a business. And I also want to give a thanks to all of our listeners who have purchased Red River printing paper, because by you purchasing that paper, by you buying from them, and especially when you buy after clicking on the tile that runs on every page of the Digital Story, the Red River paper tile, that lets them know that you're listening and that you are buying paper because you're a member of our community. And that just helps keep things going. So I guess I should say thank you, and your purchases has kept this beautiful partnership going for years and years and years. If you're interested at all at what they have to offer and you've never gone over there, just click on the Red River paper tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Nose around, there's tons of information, many types of paper. They will help you get started, get your inkjet printing mojo going, make some art, and the holidays are the perfect time to be printing gifts for friends and family. Big thanks to Red River Paper for their continued support. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm working on more great things for next week. Until then, stay safe. Get out there and take some pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.